You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Intern.cast Show, the show where we, the hosts, much like the features we review, have not yet graduated up to theatrical release. That's right, all the other critics out there are the characters from Family Guy. Us? We're just Meg. Just Meg.
Shut up, Meg.
Yeah, yeah. See, we're referencing a show that's famous for references and about nothing else. I mean, if there's such a thing as meta, dude, we would be the picture in the dictionary.
It's a reference inside of a reference. It's honestly just too obtuse for our audience. So if they don't understand it, if they don't like it, it's their fault for not understanding our art.
Absolutely. The two references cancel each other out, and it's actually really, like, genius. You just don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And like I said, we would be the picture-perfect description of meta.
Yeah.
London, you read a lot. You're on your third version, your third way through of the dictionary. Are we in there yet, or what?
Well, not yet, but I have petitioned.
Motherfucker. I have been calling them.
Hey, listen, if Bootylicious can get in a dictionary, I know
what?
Our faces can get, your guys' faces can get in there.
No, it's all of us. It's everyone that's ever been on this show. Just like,
I think that's the problem, is that Davey's already picture is already under the definition of Bootylicious, and they're afraid they can't have two pictures of the same thing. Otherwise, it would, you know,
well,
what is this, a thesaurus?
You don't know that it's me, because it's just the ass under the Bootylicious entry.
I think we can tell.
That mole is very distinctive.
gross. Fuck off.
Listen, they have very astute people working at the dictionary offices, so...
Yeah, the Merriam-Webster is just going through pictures of asses day in, day out.
Dude, I would. Have you all ever checked out thechive.com?
No.
So the Chive is like this website that... If I'm totally butchering this, I apologize, but not really. Sorry, not sorry. But the Chive is this website that promotes... like charity, like you can go there and see different charities, and it's basically like a, from what I can tell, it's sort of like a Facebook for charity. So if you have a charity for, I don't know, leukemia or something like that, you can go there and petition your charity and get knowledge, you know, people going interested in it.
Yeah,
that's what they sell it as, but what it really is just a picture of a bunch of naked chicks. It's like a borderline wannabe porn site, but there's no actual nudity unless you count ass, because ass is technically nudity. But yeah, it's really weird. I knew this one chick that was all about the Chive, and they're the ones that coined that stupid phrase "keep calm and chive on" or whatever.
Oh, they did that. Okay.
Yeah, they started that. But it's so, like, she's like, it's really good. It's all for charity. And then she followed up with, oh, by the way, can you go on there and vote me as top 10 ass, because I'm in the top 10 ass competition right now.
What?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't quite get what it was for, but whatever. Anyway, back to the show.
The wildest charity I've ever heard.
Wild and crazy charities.
Wild and crazy charities.
This is the Intern.cast Show. I am TJ, as per always, and I'm joined today by...
Davey.
London.
And... Yeah, that's right, London. You're like the resident guest turn on this show. You're always here, man.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I should.
You were like the most
more.
Reliable. You were like Old Faithful. You come in, you squirt your geyser, and then you get us all wet with your junk, and then leave.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, this is going to be the last episode of the Intern.cast Show. We're all going to go and have a ritualistic suicide after that. Goodbye, everybody. What the fuck, TJ?
Okay,
London. What have you been seeing lately, man? Have you read anything cool lately? What's up?
Well, I've been kind of busy because I don't know if, like, I would put it on the site, but I'm prepping to do some reporting on the International Horror Hotel Film Festival. Jesus,
that sounds like a mouthful, but it also sounds really cool. What is that?
It's a film festival and convention, and it brings, like, filmmakers from around the world to, like, Ohio, and they can showcase their work, and there's competitions, there's film screenings, there's a car show, there's all types of stuff going on. And I interviewed the producer and founder of the festival a couple months ago. And, you know, I talked about it, and then, you know, she contacted me again and said, hey, you know, would you be interested in, you know, doing some reporting, giving you media pass. I'm like, oh, yeah, awesome. So I contacted some friends, helped me with the camera work and everything. So I've been working on that. So that's been taking up most of my time. I've still been able to watch some stuff and read, but like everything I've seen is like old because I just got TV, so I'm just watching stuff on TV.
Well, welcome to the 19th century, sir.
Yeah.
I like the idea of London just being like, what is this box? And like turning it on and just be like, holy shit, it glows. There are tiny people trapped in the screen. I have never seen this before.
It's kind of like, did y'all ever see Room?
Yeah.
The family that's locked in the room and the little kid thinks that the TV is real or it was something like that.
Now I want to watch a full remake of Room. That's the exact same movie, except it's just London in the place of Jacob Tremblay. And they never acknowledge that it's a grown human being instead of like a 5-year-old boy.
Tiny trapped room.
That's like every Will Ferrell movie ever. It's like, it's a child. But no one wants to say it's a child.
That would be a funny as hell Will Ferrell movie if they did Room, but with Will Ferrell. And just no one acknowledges that he's not 5 years old.
I've since boycotted most of his movies. And I might actually watch that one.
He's done some good stuff recently.
He's all right. Like what?
No, he runs into the Adam Sandler thing. He's a good actor. He just surrounded by bad people.
I don't think it's on Adam Sandler level. Because when Adam Sandler does something that's not terrible, you're like, it's a miracle. Like, the heavens and stars have aligned. When Will Ferrell does something not terrible, you're like, good for him.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you don't get that, like, bad taste in your mouth type of thing. Like, damn, you could
I would
that.
Love to have Will Ferrell's bad taste in my mouth.
You need to calm down. You are going wild. London.
Is that? Okay, yeah, so I'll talk more about stuff I have seen.
Right? Okay.
So, all right. Let's see. There's something that I'm trying to remember what. There was something I thought was really weird. Oh, this is a movie I saw called Class of 1999.
Okay.
Now, upon seeing it, it looks like something that would have been made now to capture the nostalgia of the 1980s.
Okay.
But it was made in 1980s. And it has so many tropes and cliches in it. Like, I'll explain the premise. Well, F it. This is what it is. RoboCop mixed with Terminator mixed with cyberpunk teenage gangs.
That sounds like the greatest movie in the fucking universe.
And it kind of is. It's so, like I said, it's just, it has all these cliches, but it's fun. Like, okay.
That's amazing.
And that's all I can say about that. Like, I would recommend watching it. It's just fun. Like I said, it feels like it's, like at the time would have been like, this is just a good knockoff of these other films. But watching it now in the nostalgia age, it's awesome. So
that's going on the watch list right now, actually. That sounds fun as hell.
Yeah, like I said, I recommend it. So something else that I did see that I thought was interesting, but it was one of the newer DC animated films, Justice League Dark.
Okay, how was that?
I think it's the best of the recent DC animated films, but I still don't really care for I think they all could be better. Like, one of the things that bothers me the most, though, is just the animation itself. It just feels jerky.
I get that.
And that keeps annoying me. And I thought, and the thing is, I kind of ran into the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 Suicide Squad issue where I, at some point, there were just certain details.
Wait, what? Did you just compare Guardians of the Galaxy 2 with Suicide Squad?
No. This instance where something happened and I don't know what it meant. Like, it just, like, there's a detail and I'm like, okay. Because, like, I'm sorry, I didn't explain the premise of Justice League Dark. Basically, it's about the supernatural heroes or characters of the Justice League universe, and they're all fighting this threat where people get possessed by demons and start killing each other. And so there are just certain things that happened that I just didn't understand. Like, there was stuff with Swamp Thing. Like, it was weird because they explained backstories of certain characters, but not other characters. And the ones they explained were like, yeah, I know that. But the other ones are like, why didn't you give me a backstory to Swamp Thing?
Every time I because you were talking about Suicide Squad, and like every time anyone's like, man, they just don't explain anything properly, I just think of Joel Kinnaman going, this is Katana! Her sword traps the souls of everyone she kills! And that's it. Like, that's supposed to make perfect fucking sense.
No, no, see that, okay. No, you have to finish it. I would advise not getting killed by her.
Yeah.
Remember to put that in. This is Katana. She's got my back. I would advise not getting killed by her. Her soul's trapped. Her sword traps the souls of their victims.
Ugh, what a terrible movie. But what a fun impression to do, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Okay, you seen anything else?
No, that's it. I did read another short story.
Ooh.
It was, this time it wasn't from The New Yorker. I got it from Tor. No,
okay.
That's not the dark web.
Okay, so you're cheating on the New Yorker now.
Yeah. Well, I guess I got sick of it.
Okay.
I got to finally read a fantasy, so yay.
Ooh.
And it's called,
I think the fantasy was that you stopped reading The New Yorker.
Oh.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's a good point, actually.
That's my personal fantasy. I'm quite happy. Don't have to read.
You finally break free from that relationship.
No more bland, boring, whatever. So, like I said, the story is called Shape Without Form, Shade Without Color.
Okay.
And it's written by Sonny Moraine, and it is very hard to describe because it's not only is it fantasy, it's dark fantasy. So if anyone knows what that means that these are themes that are a little bit more mature and a lot of craziness ensues. And essentially this woman, she moves in with, I believe, her significant other. I'm not sure, like, if they're married or if they're boyfriend or if it's a boyfriend or whatever. But move into this home. And she suddenly starts to we're not sure, but she believes she's seeing these things. She calls them starlings, but they seem more like fairies. And they kind of haunt her. And they just continuously haunt her. She can't sleep. And they tell her to... It's almost like... It's kind of like schizophrenia. Like, they keep telling her to do evil things. And she keeps... And the whole story, you know, and it's just her dealing with that. And it's very hard to follow because it is written from her perspective. And it seems like she's losing her mind. So
Okay. We're
just like... We're on this journey. It's very, very vivid. And it's just like... It's almost like kind of like dream logic, like things flow in and out. Some things they don't make sense. Her suggestibility changes all over the place. So like this is a time where I'm like, okay, this has a great style, and it's like I said, it's hard to follow because in the beginning you're like, what the hell is going on? But as it goes forward, you start to understand it, and while it's still pretty crazy, it's a very interesting idea, and at the end you're still kind of, you don't know whether or not this is. This is really happening, or if it's just in your head.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I would recommend it. It's on Tor.com. That's the publisher. They're the ones who publish science fiction and sci-fi. So, and like it's one of the more recent ones. It's like it's not the most recent, but it came out like May 31st. So, I would recommend it.
That actually connects to the thing we're going to be talking about later, talking about like dream logic and stuff like that. So that's I like it a lot.
Oh, was there logic in the thing we watched?
Oh no! I don't like the implications of that. Get tuned for another disagreement, boys.
What about you, Davey?
I've seen a couple things. I saw Wonder Woman, which was delightful.
Cool.
I saw Raw.
DC sucks.
DC does suck. God. DC does suck. But you know what doesn't suck? Optimism. That's wonderful. I would like to point you to our I Love Dick conversation.
Oh, God.
I actually listened to that episode, and it was really funny.
Thank you.
The term was something like cunt or...
Cunt red.
Cunt red. There.
Oh, yeah.
Never forget. Never forget that shit. But no, Optimism is great, and Wonder Woman is fun. I saw Raw, which is this French cannibal horror movie thing. Have any of you guys heard of this?
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. Looked kind of. Wasn't she like a vegetarian or something?
She's a vegetarian, and she goes to a vet, and she wants to become like a veterinarian. And they have this hazing ritual, and they make her eat like a raw rabbit kidney. She's like, "Huh, meat is good. You know, it's really good human meat." And it's it's a lot of fun to watch. It's a really entertaining movie.
That sounds re-fucking-awesome, ridiculous.
It is. It's so cool. I was watching it, and it was just, like, it's not really scary, but it's just, like, gross and really compelling, and I was watching it, I was like, this is awesome. I loved it. I also saw The Mummy.
I know we can't talk too much about it, but...
Ooh, I'm just real quick. It is a piece of shit.
Cool, cool.
And I loved it.
Oh.
It's, like, once I realized that it was a horrendous, horrendous movie, I got so into it. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Damn, dang it. I had it spoiled for me. And I still, like, because of the spoiling of the ending, I'm like, I want to see it more. Just to see how it gets to that point.
It makes no sense. Nothing makes a lick of sense.
You can't do that, because that's the exact same reason so many people flock to see fucking Twilight, because they're like, I know it's stupid, but I want to see this birthing scene with the baby. Like,
okay,
no, it's okay, not then. Worth
right,
it.
Guys, here's the thing. You see how old my stuff, the stuff that I see, I'm not going to see it in theaters.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But I will say...
You just now saw The Mummy, the Brandon Fraser version.
He's like, man, this Brandon Fraser guy's really cool. I wonder what he's doing now.
Oh! He probably really did become Encino Man. Like, he's off somewhere trying to freeze himself in hopes that he'll wake up one day and people will still like him.
he keeps, like, knocking on Pauly Shore's door and be like, Pauly, let me in. We want to do Encino Man too. And even Pauly Shore's like, man, get the hell out. I miss Brandon Fraser.
I miss Brendan Fraser too. Like, he's
awesome.
He's so, I think he has a certain amount of charisma. Like, he has, okay, there's a couple of movies of his that I just really, really guilty pleasure enjoy. I don't know if y'all ever saw this movie called Blast from the Past.
Oh, yeah.
No, is that any good?
I think it's delightful. I haven't ever watched it on, like, a film critique aspect, because I'm sure it's dog shit. But it's just so happy-go-lucky. It's fucking adorable. And I love it.
It's charming. I remember when I was
really young, one of my favorite movies was Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Oh.
And Brendan Fraser was in that. I remember being really fun. To be fair, it came out when I was 5. So, I don't know if it's actually good, but I just remember really liking Brendan Fraser, because I liked that movie, I liked Journey to the Center of the Earth, and I loved the first two Mummy movies.
Right. I don't know why he got fired from Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Because no one gives a shit about Brendan Fraser anymore.
They gave much of a shit to make it a sequel.
Yeah, but...
It might have been that they got Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. And it was like, well, we got Dwayne Johnson. I mean, this was like... I know it was like before he became big. But, I mean, figuratively and literally. But, you know, it's like, hey, we got Dwayne... Oh, but one last note. Bedazzled. The Bedazzled remake.
Yes. Bedazzled remake is cute as fuck, dude.
Really? Mm-hmm. I need to go back through and catch up on my Brendan Fraser. I'm slacking.
You are slacking off Brendan Fraser.
I apologize. I have failed the Fraser, and I have failed you.
Fraser is life.
Fraser is love. Fraser is life.
But no, I'm so glad you made that reference, Leonard, because Bedazzled is, like, also really cute. I recently saw a deleted scene, which was one of his wishes, where he, like, basically becomes, who's that famous rock couple that killed themselves? Sid and Nancy. He basically lives out Sid and Nancy in one of his wishes, and that was really fucked up, so they took it out of the movie and replaced it with one of his other ones. I think it was, like, they replaced it with the president one.
That'd be funny, though. Just watching Brendan Fraser go through the Sid Vicious life. I would watch a whole movie of that.
What else have you been up to, baby? I know it's your summer.
It's my summer. I've just been working, seeing movies, living my life, trying to not get in a car accident. Because I've been driving a lot. I got in a couple a little like last year, and I'm just a nervous person. I'm doing it surprisingly low key right now, which is kind of delightful. TJ, what about yourself real quick? What have you been up to?
Shit. Just work, man. Work sucks. I'm getting to the point where, like, This isn't a rant of the week. This is just me venting.
Yeah.
Like, I worked really hard to get to my job where I am now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it never occurred to me while I was working my ass off to get here that I would hate it.
Really?
And I hate it.
Oh, no.
But it's cool. It pays the bills, so.
I mean, that's good. I'm glad that the bills are paid, but it's still kind of disheartening to hear, not going to lie.
Yeah. But it's life. I'm sure. I think I need to busy myself. Like, I always come up with these projects, and then, like, it just distracts me from work. So when I'm at work, I'm off in my head working on the project. I need a new project. I think I'm going to make a feature film about Davey's car accidents.
Okay.
It'll be the sequel to Sex Crash and Vies. I always get confused. Crash is the drug movie. What's the movie where they fuck every time they car?
No, it's also called Crash.
It is also called Crash.
Yeah. It's,
oh, okay.
Yeah, because David Cronenberg made that in 1996, and then the other one was 2004.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, but no one talks about that one because people fuck in car crashes. It's the weirdest premise in the world.
I don't care. I thought it was funny as fuck.
I actually have never seen it. I'm still getting into, like, old Cronenberg shit.
But I did see recently, because I know I said last week in the episode that we were going to review F is for Family this week, but I couldn't bring myself to make y'all, like, binge another TV show, especially since next week we're for sure doing
Handmaid's Tale. Yeah.
So I can't make you guys binge it, but I had already watched all of it anyway.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a quick little review. Are y'all ready?
I'm so ready. Bring it on me.
It's really funny because, like, my favorite part about the show and the weirdest part about the show is the opener, and I can't figure out what I don't like about the opener. It's just weird. So it's basically this, I mean, you've seen this show before. It's a wannabe Family Guy. It's a wannabe American Dad. Yeah. It's a wannabe, Wait Till Your Father Gets Home from the 70s.
What? I don't know what the fuck that is.
It was like the Family Guy of the 70s.
That doesn't sound
or funny. The Simpsons of the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was a good show, you know. But this is definitely a better version of all of those.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's nothing new because all of those have come and gone.
Yeah.
So it's basically this guy Frank.
Right.
Frank Murphy is his name, which is like such a cliche, like.
White dad name.
Why? Seriously, totally.
Yeah.
Bill Burr plays Frank Murphy, who's the head of this household of this stereotypical fucked up family, but they're really not all that fucked up. They got, you know, they got the one rebel kid who's like a problem child. He doesn't go to school and he causes havoc. And then they got the one genius daughter who no one takes seriously as a daughter. They don't take her seriously as a daughter. No, they don't take her seriously as a genius because she's a girl and it's in the 70s and that's just
silly.
Because
women can't do the science.
Right, exactly. That joke is a joke they play on a lot.
That sounds very entertaining and not at all.
They even have this one funny bit where she was one of two kids in the entire school that got 100% on the test.
Mm-hmm.
So they assume that she copied off this other kid who's like an Asian male.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, you definitely copied off him. The Asian kid ended up copying off her, and still no one believed. Right. And then they got the other little middle child who's kind of like, I don't know, like the outcast. He's a redhead. No one really likes him.
Yeah, you just get
beat up a lot. Yeah, redhead. He's the redheaded stepchild almost. And then they round out the family with the mom who's like the up and coming. She's trying to be the woman of the household as opposed to, you know, the stereotypical housewife.
Right.
And they live next to a hippie guy played by that actor that I love. Oh, my God. No, he's the actor that he always dances in all of his movies.
What?
I know that sounds so weird, but that's like a thing. Sam Rockwell.
That's the worst description of Sam Rockwell I've ever heard.
No, it's a perfect description. It's like, okay, like, pop quiz. If I were to say the actor that always has to pee in his movie, what actor is that?
No, I don't know.
It's Tom Hanks. If you ever watch a Tom Hanks movie, there's always a reference to him having to go to the bathroom. This has been like looked at before. It's a thing. It's his thing. He likes to do it because he thinks it's his trademark. Like, you know, think of any Tom Hanks movie and there's a scene where him peeing or something like that.
I mean, I saw Sully, he peed on my enjoyment.
Oh, why? There's nothing. I mean, it's fine.
I hate that movie, actually.
You hate it? Fucking hate it?
I hated that movie. That was one of my least favorite movies of last year. And Yoga Hosers came out that year.
Ooh.
Like, that's the level
I mean, this, what's wrong with it? It's just I would never want to see. I've seen it.
Boring.
Okay, yeah, it's boring, but that's not a bad movie.
It's boring, it's tedious, it's got this, like, weird Clint Eastwood jingoism that I fucking hate. And I just...
I can see that.
It had nothing to say. It had nothing to be about.
It's totally pointless. I mean, if I were to tell you, like, oh, there's a movie about the guy that safely landed the plane in the Hudson, you'd be like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? And I'd be like, yeah, it's about him being sued because he saved everyone's life.
Yeah,
like,
and the people that are suing
stupid.
Him very clearly have no case, and the whole point of the movie is just like, man, these people that are... It's not about the regulations. You got to follow your heart. And I'm like, regulations are there so people don't die. It was a risky move. I'm glad it worked out, but everyone chill the fuck out.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. I just don't think it was offensive or
I wasn't offended.
Made.
I was just...
It was just lame. It's just lame.
I was angered. Angered
Well, anyway.
Sorry, keep going.
Well, going back to Tom Hanks, like, okay, if you think in Castaway, there's a scene where he pees off the side of the island. If you think in Green Mile, he has a problem where he can't pee, like, Forrest Gump, there's a whole scene where he's like, I gotta pay. It, like, it's his thing. He's talked about it in interviews and stuff.
And there's the golden shower scene in the Toy Story movies. How could I forget? Tom Hanks? I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a thing. Anyway, so in F is for Family, the hippie neighbor is played by Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
And his thing is he likes to dance in a lot of his movies. I don't know if you've seen him, but he likes to dance in a lot of his movies. It's his little shtick. It's just, even when he was the bad guy in Charlie's Angels, there's a whole scene dedicated to him where he dances.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, I really like Sam Rockwell. He's honestly within my top three favorite actors.
Well,
I don't know why. He doesn't do that much, but everything he does, he fucking kicks ass in. Except for this one. He's like the least funny part about it. But anyway, so F is for Family is this animated sitcom, and it's a little more grounded than like Family Guy or anything like that. There's definitely no aliens that show up, and everything that happens in it could happen in the real world. So I don't know why it's, you know, animated, but... And it's a comedy from Bill Burr, so it's basically his brainchild, and he voices the lead character. So it's a really, like, just... dour look at, you know, family, and it's I would say it's a lot funnier than like Family Guy and stuff, mainly because there's a whole season arc.
Yeah,
and this is F is for Family season 2, which I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and the whole season arc is that the lead character Frank has lost his job.
Okay,
based on his actions in the previous season.
Yeah,
so this whole season is about him having basically a midlife crisis. Same. Because his wife is the one that's bringing all the money into the house.
Right.
And it's funny. My only problem with it is that sometimes it gets a little too real. And you're, like, laughing from pain because it's like, oh.
Okay, so...
like, and because I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, starting to hate my job, and I'm also, like, looking for a house, and I'm thinking, man, to buy this house would be great, but that would mean that I'm stuck in my job forever. It's like, oh... That's happy sad, and it's kind of, I don't know what else to do but laugh about it. That's this entire show. Yeah.
This podcast got a lot more real than I expected it to.
Yeah, but it's funny. Don't get me wrong. It's really fucking funny.
Okay, so what would you give this season?
I would give F is for Family season 2. I wasn't even prepared for that question. I would give it 8 out of 10. Duff beers, even though there's no Duff beer in it, because that's a Simpsons thing,
yeah.
But he drinks a lot, and it seems like something that would fit.
Awesome, and that's F is for Family Season 2, streaming on Netflix. So, guys, we need to talk about Lucid Dream.
Do we?
Yes. This movie is so much fun.
Oh. I don't know about fun.
It's bonkers.
I thought... I see, when you said we were going to disagree, I thought on other things. I didn't think we would disagree right off the bat with fun.
No,
I don't know how fun it is.
I had a great time watching this movie.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us what it's about?
Okay, Lucid Dream is, it's a South Korean film that just came on Netflix where a reporter who's famous for doing exposés that tear down, like, big corporations, his son gets kidnapped and disappears. And it's 3 years after that, and he's trying to figure out what happened to his son. And so he starts experimenting with lucid dreaming, even though what he does is not at all lucid dreaming, but okay. And
right, he basically just, he relives his dreams.
Yeah, he Eternal Sunshines it, but it's not lucid dreaming at all.
Right, right. It kind of gets into that a little bit later in the movie.
A little bit,
but it's definitely, it's for something that's called Lucid Dream, and that's it, the entire premise, you know, like, that's what it's described as in the plot thing for Netflix.
Yeah.
There wasn't that much of it.
I mean, there was a good bit of it, and so, like, he uses this quote-unquote lucid dreaming to, like, get clues. And then he goes into the dream world and other places and goes into other people's dreams, like, find out about their lives and their stories. And it's so silly and so bonkers.
See, but now I agree with you, but that to me does not translate necessarily to fun.
Well, here's the thing. It's, like, it's a high-class stupid. But it's not...
okay.
It's not stupid like something like The Mummy, where it's so obvious that people didn't care. It felt like watching this movie, it felt like the filmmaker said, okay, so we can do something that accurately reflects, like, dreaming and the science of that and, like, how all that works. And they're like, no, let's make a crackpot mystery and we can just play around with this world. And I had so much fun watching this. I was so stunned because it just took logic and threw it out the window within frame one.
It never even establishes its rules.
Yeah,
like,
no.
It says several times, you can't do this in a dream, or don't do this in a dream, or it works like this, but it never says, it never takes a step before that and is like, this is how science works. Like,
yeah, no,
this is a thing. It's such a shock to even me after watching that. I'm like, are they sure they can still do this in their own movie? Because it doesn't seem like that's something that would exist in their movie.
No, the thing is, it doesn't work. The thing is,
yeah.
Too, it's like, every character just takes it in stride.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, guess what? I could do this thing where I can go in other people's dreams. And the other person's like, really? Yeah. Okay, let's do it. Like, what?
Yeah, totally. Like, he goes to this therapist who helps him relive his dreams.
Yeah.
And basically, it's not that he's changing them or looking for, he looks for clues based on stuff that he knows he saw but can't remember. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's like he wouldn't be able to know what the person's face looked like whose back he saw. But he might be able to recognize,
like, a tattoo,
right? The tattoo or the brand of the jacket the person is wearing. Like, it's in his mind. He just can't reach it because it's just buried in his memory. So he does this a couple times before he starts getting enough clues to have other people do it. And it's funny because he goes and goes to one of the people that he remembers from his dream. He's like, "Hey, do you remember me? Yeah, I do. Okay, I need you to do this for me." And there's no scene where the guy's like, "That doesn't make any sense."
No, none of it makes sense. It's great.
The cotton candy guy, or whoever he brings
yeah.
in to help him, just totally accepts. Like, there's not even a scene where he questions it. There's not even a scene where it's explained to him what he's going to be doing. It just immediately jumps to him waking up from the machine like, oh, yeah, I saw this.
No,
I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Get away from my booth.
But
are you going to order cotton candy or what?
But that's the thing. This movie is, like I said, it's so devoid of logic, not only in it's science, or lack thereof, but just even in the mystery. Because at the beginning, there are so many red herrings that aren't even like, oh, like, it could be this guy or this guy. Like, there are things where they very clearly set up a twist.
Mm,
that
yes.
never gets paid off, and it's a surreal experience. It does, okay, I will say, it does a lot of things wrong. It's a dumb movie. But it's an imaginatively dumb movie.
Is it? Because it's basically like, I mean, I know this is like a Japanese accent, but it's basically Inception.
But that's okay. Because, okay, it's just Inception or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, or like one of those other movies that plays around in the dreamscape. But none of those movies are this just cavalier about things, because both those movies are very serious and they have important things to say. And
sure,
you can't really get lost in the silliness of it all and the entertainment value of it all, because you're thinking and you're going, okay, Inception's like, okay, so how does this plot work? And how does this sequence? You're in awe of it. But I wouldn't necessarily call Inception like a super fun movie. I wouldn't call Eternal Sunshine a super fun movie. This is a fun fucking movie.
I think the thing is, it's a movie that's piggybacking off of those. Like, those movies have to set up, like, what exactly is going on. It feels like this movie is, like, it already is inferring that the audience already knows about those movies, so we already kind of understand what's going to happen. Like, okay, like, all right, this movie's about dreams. Now, okay, here's the story. You know, here's a plot. Okay, crime drama. Boom. Okay, this is happening. It's kind of like, you know, it's like if, I don't know, like, it's like a movie where, let's say it's a, cars were just invented. Or like, oh yeah, cars are invented, and then we just saw a movie talking all about cars. And the next movie, it's like, cars are still, like, new, and no one really understands it, but they just started just having these big car battles. And it's like, that's a terrible analogy, but...
No, it's actually a good analogy. It totally makes sense. Yeah. It's almost like this movie and Inception share dreams.
Yeah. Also, fuck you. But yeah.
But, I mean, that is a good analogy, just because it really does... This movie would make no sense to you. It you wouldn't even be able to comprehend it if you haven't seen Inception, or at least understood what Inception is about. Because this is just, like, it's so, the idea of it is something people have talked about, and I'm sure the things you've thought about, where you, oh, I had a dream last night and you were in it. I wonder if you shared the same dream with me. Yeah. But this is so, like, the way they try to play it off like it's a real thing is just so, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that, but I just feel like it is silly.
No, it's silly, and it, like, I don't really need to understand it. Like, maybe it's just a headspace that I was in when I watched it, but I was so refreshed by how dumb this was, and so refreshed by how its entire objective was just to make you have a good time and be kind of invested in this mystery. And it did that for me.
I think it had potential to do that. Like, it really, I feel like if it had a few more action scenes or maybe creative scenes within the dream, it would have been really fun.
Yeah.
But, like, it seems like with a limited budget and just, you know, the story that it was kind of telling, you know, about him looking for his son, they didn't really have opportunities to have a fun action scene within a dream. And so it kind of just falls flat. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because the dreams I have are just so fucking crazy, and they always end up with me flying into a house full of naked chicks, and then there's a shootout. Like, this is just like, it's not really
that.
But
that wouldn't have worked. That wouldn't have worked in this movie.
Right. But I'm saying, like, because it didn't work doesn't mean I didn't want it. I didn't want some fun in it. What I was given, that just wasn't that fun to me.
Oh, I think it was so much fun. Especially, like, the final, like, dream fight that goes on for, like, 10 minutes and just buildings are collapsing. And it's all just a giant Inception knockoff. But it's fun. And
It is.
And the mystery is compelling to me. Like, at the opening scenes, I was like, okay, I like this guy. I like what he stands for. I like what he's about. And I want him to get his kid back.
Sure.
I was into the movie.
The thing that...
I guess I never really thought of it as a mystery, maybe because I'm, like, lucky or whatever, but I kind of guessed the twist.
I did too.
I didn't guess it, but right from the beginning, I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's this. And then I, you know, didn't entertain that option. But then when it came back around, I'm like, oh, okay, I was right.
I put a little red dot on something, and I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure it's this. And then as it went along, I'm like, okay, I'm pretty certain it's this. And then, yeah. So I was in the same boat. And the thing is, it was just tough for me to, like, kind of gauge everyone. Because the characters, not only did they just, like, buy into, like, this concept, but they were so gung-ho with him. Like, this guy could convince everyone to do anything.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I don't know if this is, like, I'm just going to pull the elephant in the room. I don't know if it's a Korean thing, and, like, everyone is, like, so into, like, helping each other, but I'm like, if this guy came out the blue and just said, like, hey, could you help me, like, you know, like, I could help you find my son, and could you do this thing where I share a dream and do, and then everyone is like, at first they're hesitant. They're like, okay. It's like, and then like, then they're like, they're completely with him the whole time. Like, they're willing to break laws. They're willing to just offer this guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, and it's just like, I give it props because it helps with the pacing because it moves fast.
It does move really fast.
It does move fast. And he gets so far into his search. Like, okay, so, it starts out with showing him and his kid, introducing him, and then it ends after his kid gets kidnapped. And then it very quickly jumps to 3 years later when nothing has happened. He hasn't done anything in 3 years, or at least gotten any headway. And then in this movie, which probably takes course over maybe a week, he gets, like, he basically brings down the entire city. Like,
and here's the thing, like, you were saying about, like, people are just super willing, and it doesn't seem to work. It reminds me of our small crimes conversation about how, in that movie, one of the characters flips on a dime, and it doesn't really work. And much like small crimes, I will forgive a lot if a movie is going to show me an honest-to-God good time. And much like small crimes, I think Lucid Dream is a good time, even though it's the logic doesn't work, even though the mystery is pure nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the beginning, there's a character, and he's like, what if I see him in, like, who's that guy in the dream? And they're like, oh, he just does share dreams with people. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that was so fucking weird. And then, like, and then he's tracking down all these people and clues that he found from his dream, and then somehow, I honestly couldn't tell you how, but he comes across that guy.
Yeah, and he...
there's no logical reason. Back. Oh, he comes back.
What?
Well,
he's in the rest of the movie. What are you talking about?
Well,
no, we're talking about the guy that hijacks other people's dreams, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
oh, it's that guy.
Oh,
you didn't know that? Was
are you a racist? And they all look the same to you?
No, that guy had like it was like a short, clean cut. He was like he looked like an Asian James Bond, but the guy that hijacked the dreams, he's like in a wheelchair and he had like the long.
Right, and there's a whole entire scene where he explains that, where he's like, yeah, I've been in a wheelchair my whole life, so when I go into other people's dreams, I'm a good-looking motherfucker, and I'm not in a wheelchair.
I did not connect to that. I thought that they just put that in there, and they just never explained it.
Wow, Dave.
There's actually a visual plot point which shows him helping him in the... Okay.
Right.
I have no idea how I missed that.
Okay, did you just blank out in this movie and a better movie was playing in your head and that's why you liked this more than we did?
No, I just kind of zoned out watching it and I got into it. I watched it, it was like a Saturday morning, it was like 11 a.m. and I was like, okay, I might as well watch this movie. And
I'm going to give you a pass and just chalk it up to you were reading the subtitles and not always staring at the people. Because the only other option is that you're just a racist and all Asians look the same to you.
Yeah. I think the third option is that I didn't actually watch this movie, which I'm starting to think maybe I didn't now.
You read the premise and you're like, I loved it!
Yeah, I was like, it's the best movie ever! And they're like, what's it about? And I go, I don't fucking know.
You know, there are two... There's a show called Lucid Dream on Netflix, too, and it's about...
You watch the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I just typed in Lucid Dream and whatever came up, I was like, yeah, it's this thing. maybe, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I watched it.
I'm sure you did, but it just, no, because you even referenced the whole, like, showdown in the dream with the buildings in the end. But I mean, the whole thing that you just, the whole mix-up that you just had is kind of my biggest problem, is where, like I said, he gets, go into his dreams to get a clue, right? So he sees an apple, all right? And then somehow he's able to track down the exact same apple from his dream from 10 years ago with little to no help. Like he sees people, like, then apple's a bad example.
Yeah.
But basically, he goes to his dream and he sees the face of somebody.
Yeah.
And he knows this person's the bad guy.
Right.
And he comes out of his dream, and the very next scene, there's no, like, him looking through pictures of bad guys or going through the cop, pictures, mugshots, nothing. He just out of nowhere has a picture of the guy from his dream.
Well, I mean, he has a network of people that are like, we'll find anybody for ya.
Well, does he really?
Well, I think they they set that up that since he's an investigative journalist, he has, like, a pretty good memory of faces, and he's good at, like, writing down, like, remembering names and such, so...
Sure, that part I understand, but him having a perfect picture, it wasn't even a sketch of the guy from his dream.
Yeah.
It was a picture of some guy posing. And there's just no logic to... I accept the logic from how the dreams work. It's loose, but I accept it.
Yeah.
But I accept the mystery that he's in. I accept it. I don't accept the connection between the two and how he can bring a perfect picture back from a dream with him.
Fair. I just don't... And usually I'm more of a stickler for logic. That's the thing. It doesn't feel like... my normal opinion on a movie like this, but I kind of just didn't expect any sort of logic or sense once the dream stuff started happening.
Is that where we are now? Here's the thing. I love movies like this. I love Inception. And I love, I almost said Fast Times at Richmond High.
What's the
one you're just talking? Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah.
But I've yet to see one where it totally makes sense to me.
Really?
You know? It's so loose, even in its own thing that it sets up. Like, even Inception is supposed to be the best one of those, and it still doesn't always really make sense. Like, especially how they're always saying, oh, he can't die in his dream because then he'll go into purgatory or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the end, they all kill themselves to wake up from purgatory. So I don't get it. They're like, oh, purgatory is a bad place to be, but they all come out of it really easily because they just kill themselves. I don't know. There's never really any set in stone rules to these kind of things.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest problem, again, with this here. And because this one doesn't take itself as seriously as those,
it doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Right. So it's even more blatantly obvious the loose holes in how it works.
Wait, you guys say it doesn't take itself seriously? I disagree because all the acting was like hardcore melodrama. I mean, I mean, they would have
you
scenes.
Said it like it's a bad thing. I love melodrama.
It just felt like I said, it felt like two different movies just smushed together. Like it felt like a jokey knockoff funny B movie, but with this hardcore straight laced like crime procedural. And it's just like, they both never, it's like, it feels like it wants to be more of the crime procedural than the funny B-movie knockoff. Because, like, you even have a character in there, like the guy in the wheelchair, he's a B-movie character. He's funny and goofy. Hey, everyone, I like to go in people's dreams. It's fun. You know, and it's like,
yeah.
But everyone else is like saying, like, where's my son? I'm going to kill you. And it's like, this doesn't fit. Like, who are you?
Most melodramatic scene is the scene where he's contemplating whether or not to jump off of a building. I'm not going to spoil how he gets there, but it is a scene where he's like, okay, I should jump off this building. And it's the most melodramatic scene. And you're like, oh my God.
But like,
you're a little pussy.
No, but like that scene is just awesome because, and I'll explain it a little bit. He steals a congressman.
Kidnaps
a congressman, or a business CEO. He kidnaps someone very important while he's dreaming in a wheelchair and wheels him to a building and, like, almost pushes him over the edge. It's like, tell me what you know about my son. Like, that's just, it's just fun. It's just a fun time to me.
I'm with you. I feel like if I was a little bit more open to the idea, I would have had more fun with it too.
I don't know, and after watching so many like self-serious movies that aren't fun, this was honestly just a refreshing thing.
Yeah. Not that it matters, but the main character's name is Dae Ho, and he's played by Go Soo. And the director of this movie is a first-timer. And you know what? As a first-timer, it's pretty good. Like, if this is your going out of the starting gate movie,
yeah,
I'm all for it, dude. Like, like I said, it's a little loose in how it works sometimes, but it's made competently. And even though we said the acting is melodramatic, I don't think we have room to judge that just because it is in a foreign film and we don't know their connotation for things.
That's
you know what I mean? Like, to the way they're saying it and we're reading it in our mind, it sounds melodramatic, but maybe they're playing it.
So far, I've only seen differently. Like three Korean films, and one of them is Snowpiercer, so I'm not sure that counts. There is a Korean director, but it's kind of a joint venture. And the other two are animated. The other two are animated, The King of Pigs and The Fake. So I can't judge that. So, but the one thing I was kind of curious about was the movies that I've seen that are Korean made are usually very, very dark and have miserable, horrible stories. So I was just kind of fascinated that this really wasn't that. Like, I was expecting it to be a lot worse, having my having seen the previous Korean film. So I don't know. I just wanted to comment on that. I just thought, like, it feels like a great movie, though. Like, if it was on TV, it would be like on TNT.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be like...
No, it would totally be on the Sci-Fi Channel.
No, I disagree. I think TNT.
No, yeah, Sci-Fi is more goof. I mean, I think Sci-Fi is even, like, Sci-Fi, like, winks at the camera. Like, you know, they're like, it's crazy. TNT is like, we take it totally serious. This is drama. And that's what I feel like.
And it's silly.
Do you want to keep going into your final thoughts there, London?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I'm not sure what to gauge you guys, because I feel like I definitely don't like it as much as Davey, but I don't, I'm not sure if I dislike it more than you, TJ, but I think it's just, it's a very, and like, hearing that it's a first-time director, and that makes more sense, because I feel like it's a really good first attempt. I'm like, I will say that. I think it's, it feels like it just... It felt so, to me, it felt so mechanical. Like, this was like, everything was put in place, it was made, to everything to work for a certain way. They set things up. I will say, though, that the plot and the screenplay is very tight. Like, there's nothing that's too, aside from, like, the sci-fi aspects, like, the actual core, the narrative, everything fits into each other. There's foreshadowing, everything. There's, like, you know, there are some red herrings, but everything works. So... Right. I will give him that. Like I said, the only thing is, it's like, to me, though, it was at the behest of the characters, because there were some that just, people were just like, yeah, sure, I'm going to help you no matter what. I'm going to do this crazy thing and help you in your cause. I'm like I said, I thought that was a little weird. But, like I said, overall, I think it's fine. Like, if you're bored, or if you're really into, like, crime thrillers, I think this will work.
Yeah.
I don't think, if you're into sci-fi, I don't think this will not do it for you. This will probably just be like, this is lame. But if you're really into crime dramas, I'm serious. Like, it's just, but if you're really into crime dramas, I think this will, or crime thrillers, dramas, whatever, I think you'll like this. I think it's competent. I think the acting all around, like, I gotta give him props. Like, no, everyone was giving it their all. Like, they all were into it. You know, it was melodramatic, but they were professional. So, like, then, so... If I were to give it a rating, I'll give it like a 5.5 out of, let me see, 5 out of 5 times out of 10 that,
5 out of 5 times out of 10,
sure, whatever, that I'm so tired because I watched this in the morning, I've watched this late at night, and I thought I might have been lucid dreaming watching it, so. There, whatever.
Baby.
F it, there you go.
Honestly, this is not a great movie. And I'm not pretending that it is. But I did have a good time watching it. I think it's stupid, and it both takes itself too seriously and not seriously at all. And it, something about it has a charm that hooked me. And that's really all I have to say about this movie. It's just, it's a fun time. It's a silly, fun time. And if you're looking for a silly, fun time, you can do a whole hell of a lot worse. And, I don't know, the mystery intrigued me. The science was incomprehensible to the point of me enjoying it. I would give Lucid Dream 7 out of 10 times that I accidentally was racist because I forgot the two characters were the same person.
To be fair, there was a couple times when doubles of people showed up, and I was also confused, like, is that another person, or is that the same person?
Me too!
Because, you know, they never say out loud, oh, there's two of you.
Yeah.
It just has two of this, it's the same character twice, but they don't say it, so I'm confused. But, I mean, London had a good point there when he said it's mechanical, and it is kind of paint by numbers. But he's right when he also says that it's tight. It all makes sense, not the sci-fi aspect, obviously, but the story, the mystery, how he comes about, given what happens in the real world, everything makes sense as to how he goes about unraveling this mystery. The only problem I have with it is the editing is a little off, like I said. So he comes up with a clue, and then it always feels like there's a scene missing, because he finds a clue and then instantly solves that clue. Like, he's already found the guy, or he knows where the guy lives, or he's already at the guy's house. There's no transition scene on how he got there or how he figured it out. They take the tiniest little things and run with it. And it all makes sense. It just feels like scenes are missing. And I feel like even in the dreamscape, scenes are missing. A lot of chances could have been taken, especially since that's the way it sells it, it should be the majority of the movie, but it's not. It's peppered in sometimes, and again, peppered in with no transition. So it would seem like, I would feel like as I was watching this, oh, this is going to be one of those movies where I never know when he's dreaming and when he's awake, and I'm going to have to piece it together at the end. No, it's always obvious when he's dreaming.
Yeah.
It just, it never transitions into that dream. So you would think it'd be even more confusing. Like, oh, he was awake last scene, but he's dreaming now.
Yeah.
But it's just also obvious. And they even set up a thing kind of like Inception where, like, okay, you need to look at your watch because your watch is going to tell you whether you're dreaming or not. If the second hand is moving, it's reality. If the second hand isn't moving, it's a dream.
Right.
And they set that up kind of in a way like it's going to end like Inception, where there's an open ending.
Yeah.
Or that there's going to be some sort of mess with your mind and you're not sure. But no, so that was kind of, that kind of went nowhere. It was just kind of like a filler to make it seem legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
But I, it's funny because listening to Davey talk about it, I actually feel better about it than I did when we started talking about it.
Yes.
So even though London said that he liked it better than me, I'm actually going to give it a better rating than he gave it. So I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Yes.
We need to go deeper. We need to go deeper.
Yes.
Because this is Inception. But the only reason I'm knocking down points is just because I feel like it could have taken more.
I have brought you into the light.
See,
we share dreams.
See, sir. I think your David kind of brought me down. As he described.
Oh, really?
Shit.
At the opposite with me.
Yeah, you were
that's
like,
funny. It just
I see how much you like it.
If it had taken more chances,
yeah.
If it had taken more chances, I would have liked it lot more. But it just it has potential. It has potential. So I give it a higher rating than I originally thought. Do you guys want to get into spoilers? I just want to say one thing about it, spoiler wise. If you guys want to piggyback off that,
You guys keep talking. I actually am going to have to go. So
I just want
to
say one thing, David. Okay. One thing. You ready?
Okay.
Okay, do we all accept the fact that the happy ending of this movie still entails that little girl's gonna fucking die?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
100%. That girl is dead.
Oh, yeah. That
is shit.
That's all I wanted to say, spoiler-wise.
Yeah.
This was an episode of the Intern.Cash Show. Thank you all for joining us. Davey has to run, but we're gonna say goodbye. Stay with us. Next week, we're going to be reviewing Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. Davey, do you want to plug real quick where people can find you, or you're out of here?
You can find me at oneofus.net, as with all of us, and you can find me on Twitter at Davey Peppers.
All right, London, where are you going to be?
You can find me on Twitter at Narrative Exam. I'm also developing my site, the narrativeexaminer.com. I have the domain name, but I work with my graphic designer friend. We're going to get that done. So, also, tune in for the International Horror Hotel report that I'll be working on. So. Yep.
Awesome. You can find me on Facebook, Mr.Hooker711, on Twitter, TJ Calls Bullshit, and you can find all three of us at oneofus.net. Please subscribe. We are awesome. We think you are awesome, and it would be awesome if you were to subscribe. Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks so
much. Bye.
Oneofus.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Club, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.